All right. Welcome to Elevate Today podcast, a podcast devoted to purpose-driven individuals and growth-minded individuals that want to help other people just get better in their lives, just elevate in their life. And that's really what I wanted to dedicate these longer episodes, pretty simple, formatted. And I'm super happy to have Marianne Gomez with me today. She embodies what it means to live out your purpose, to create healthy things in your community. And so she's the founder of a book club. She's my new dear friend, someone that inspires me to take my discipline and my fitness seriously, but also press into those more unique sides of myself, of my heart, of my mission, because you do so well. So welcome to the show. I'm really happy that you're here.
I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So I will start with our first question, being how we met. That's going to be our first question. How did we meet?
This was very crazy. You're talking about purpose, and I feel like this kind of manifested. We both know Dani.
Shout out Dani Schutz.
Yeah, she is amazing. She has been such an inspiration and a huge part of my journey so far. I was talking to Dani at the gym, and I'm telling her all these ideas I have that are still in the process of coming to fruition. But she's super motivating. I was like, I have all of this on my heart that I want to do, and I have no idea how to get started. After that conversation, she sent me your Instagram, and she was like, you should connect with this girl. And I was like, okay. And then a few days later, I'm walking in Campbell, I'm at the farmer's market, and I run into you, and I was like, this is just an answered prayer. It sounds so simple, but it was such a big deal for me. I was like, I was just talking about you. I've never met you before. I feel like we hit it off instantly. So definitely shout out Dani. She's amazing. Yeah, and this is the space that I wanted to be in. I remember praying about this earlier, like a few days before I met you. I was like, I just want to be surrounded by people who are doing better than me, who can teach me something, because I feel like I want to move in this direction and be in this space that I've never been in before. And I was like, I don't know why this has been on my heart, but I want to do more, and I don't know how to get there, but like, put me in the places that you need me to be in. And then I came across you, and we kind of just hit it off. We've been hanging out ever since. You've been teaching me so many things, introducing me to incredible people. So yeah, it was kind of crazy how it worked out, but I mean, it's very serendipitous. We were just, you know.
I heard about you before too.
Oh, really?
Because, yeah, my boyfriend, he was like, oh, this girl came, she runs a book club, like, you'd be super into that. And just like, I don't read that much right now. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, that's so cool. And he's like, yeah, you guys seem like you would be friends. And you know, you just remember that and then leave it alone. But when I saw you, I'm like, oh, we're supposed to be friends.
It's meant to be. I know. Yeah. It's so crazy. Yeah. And I mean, I feel like a lot of this did stem from the book club. When COVID happened, this was kind of crazy. I feel like a lot of people have stories about COVID and they're like, it was awful. I was stuck in the house, and it was terrible the way everything kind of played out. But I am a huge introvert, and I was like kind of thriving, like being at home and awesome. Working and going to school from home. I was like, I could get used to this. And I started reading a lot because I was like, I'm not going to just fry my brain. I'm not going to be like watching TV and, you know, doing that kind of thing. And at the time I was living with my cousin Diana, and she was a huge bookworm. And she just started recommending these books. And I would just read all of these books, and I just wanted to tell everyone everything that I was learning. I was like, this information is changing the behaviors that I have every day. And I was like, you know, I always heard knowledge is power. And I think that it's powerful when you start applying these things. And I was just learning so much, and I wanted to talk about it with people.
Were they fiction? Like, true stories, imaginary stories, motivational?
I think it started with fiction, but I definitely am heavier on the personal development side. Mm-hmm. So I would read books about like finance and how to invest your money, and a lot of psychology books and books on how to be more disciplined and understand yourself through putting yourself in challenging situations. So I guess it's a mix of the two, but I was leaning heavier on personal development. And I think people were just getting sick of me because I was just reading all this stuff and like spitting information, and like sometimes like people don't want to hear that. And so
you're like talking to people, or were you posting?
I would post little reviews on Instagram, but it would mostly be through conversation. So like whoever's around me, I'm like, oh my gosh, this thing that I learned today. And so I started reading some books like with my sister and just people around me. My sister is also really big into reading, and I started a book club on Zoom. And it started on Zoom because I was like, I'm so shy, and I was like, just the thought about like bringing people together to like read a book at the time, I was like, that's lame. Like, I don't think anyone would like that except for me. And so, yeah, I started on Zoom. It was a personal development book that we read. And so it was kind of like, it was called Think Like a Monk by Jay Shetty. That. It was very good. I still think about that today. But it was kind of a workshop style. And one of my friends was like, you should, like, this is fun, we should meet in person. And I was like, anxiety. That was in August. And then my sister-in-law was part of that book club. And she kept telling me, like, start one in person. And just, like, the thought of it at the time, I was like, I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could do it. I'm so shy. I don't know. Like, no one's going to join. And then a few months later, in January, I finally did it. And we started off with 12 girls. Now it's September and we have 70 people in the book club and just counting. So I think through putting on events and hearing stories that people would tell me about like what this community is doing for them and how they're like bringing friends that they know into this space, I was like, wow, this is like really kind of turning into something. So it's still very new. But I'm excited. I feel like it definitely aligns with what I want to be doing, which is building a community and connecting with women. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Why do you think it's so hard to have community right now? People not gathering the way that's like brings out our human side.
Well, I feel like two things come to mind. I think in COVID, people were just very secluded. But I think more than that, I feel like technology is a little bit of a hindrance in that way. Like, there's so many great things that technology can do for us. But I feel like when people are on their phone all the time, like earlier, I was telling you how I went to New York and I have been wanting to travel. I make a vision board every 6 months. And on there, one of the things I wanted to do was travel more. And so I would ask like my friends and my family, and they had kids or time commitment or like money was an issue or they couldn't step away for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if I wait to travel, like I'm never gonna go. So I was like, I'm gonna go on my own. And I went to New York a few months ago for my birthday by myself. And I was like, I don't tend to feel very lonely often, but I was like, I'm surrounded by millions of people and I feel so lonely because people, like, I'll get on the subway and like people just immediately get on their phone, like no one makes eye contact with each other. I feel like everyone's in their own bubble. And so I just think that when people don't make the effort to like get out of your comfort zone or introduce yourself or have conversations, at least that's been my experience. I feel like it's hard to build relationships and have a sense of community when people are, you know, like behind a screen for so much of the day.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not like the facts have proven how damaging the technology is for our brains, and it's truly humans that can bring us healing in the way that we need. Mm-hmm. But it still takes so much convincing because, I mean, we have iPhones, we're on them a lot, you work a lot, and like there's not enough time to be human together, it feels mm-hmm. like.
Yeah.
Or not enough, we need more proof to know that put your phones away, lock in on the people that you're with, eye contact, attention, focus, and just trust the process of being human together will lead you to greater pleasure than anything else. But it's like people younger than us and younger, they won't know connection the way we know. Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel like this conversation is preserving what it means to truly connect with each other. So I think, like, you're a new friend and someone that I've got to be really deep with, like, pretty fast. We didn't have to have our warm-up friendship phase.
I love
we
that.
We went straight to the point where, like, oh my gosh, I think I met you for a God purpose, bigger reason. We were meant to be in each other's life. So-and-so said to talk to you. So-and-so said to talk to you. And it was, like, deep, being human, going out, hanging out, being in person, not just sending memes back and forth. And I really loved that. And you encouraged me already just so much to continue to press into the things that I love to do. And so I would say you're a connection expert. You know how to connect to hearts and be human. What would you say to someone on how they could create better friendships, create deeper friendships, especially, which we'll go into soon, depression and coping with that and being just in a dark place, knowing that that's like the what we need to find friends that can keep us afloat. How do you get those real friends, not just the ones you like smoke with, drink with, dance with, but like those special ones?
Yeah,
where you can do anything.
Well, first of all, that is a huge compliment. Thank you. Mm-hmm. But it's true. I feel like I've never really liked those surface level conversations, and I don't know, it's been my experience that when I meet people, the people that I want to continue having a relationship with are people that I could be vulnerable with and who feel safe being vulnerable with me. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of answers your question a little bit, like how do you build these meaningful connections? I feel like people, if they don't share a lot of themselves, I can understand how that can be super scary, because you don't know how you being yourself is going to land with someone else. And it's a risk sometimes, because you know, it could go in any direction. But I feel like when you open yourself up to people, the right people come into your circle. And I think I feel like a lot of people are looking for their purpose in life, or they know that where they are today is like, it's not where they want to be. Like, there's more out there for them. And sometimes I think people struggle with figuring out what that is. But I feel like God and the universe and whatever that looks like for you, I think people gravitate towards you based on, you know, like your purpose and what your interests are. And I don't know, I think I care a lot about people. I feel like I genuinely could go up to a stranger, and it's happened many times, and I just walk away from the conversation knowing all of their trauma, knowing everything that happened, and not because I asked for it, but because someone just felt compelled to share that with me. And I don't know, I think when you open yourself up to people, like, there's someone out there who is going to provide a safe space for you where it's not going to be emotionally draining for that person, and you can just build a relationship. I think another important thing is like working together. You were talking about like some people, like maybe you have friends that you just party with or that you do X activity with or whatever that is. But I think that when you invest in someone and someone invests in you, and there's no form of jealousy or envy, people like just genuinely want to see you grow and succeed, and they're willing to help you get there, or at least figure out how to get there. I feel like those are people that I'm at least very recently starting to find myself surrounded by. You're one of those people. Mm-hmm. Danny's one of those people. I have like a very small circle of people who just, I feel like, care a lot and are willing to do a lot to ask for help and to help you get to where you want to go. And I feel like that's important when you're building a relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of like, there will be a time of loneliness, but if you increase and if you raise your standards to people that aren't just gonna drink and smoke with you and numb your feelings just to get by and feel good, it's like once you understand the set apart element of it, mm-hmm. like you have to realize to be different, you have to be different. And so that means you might face loneliness before you're able to attract Mm-hmm. You're kind. Attract the people that think it's fun to talk about how to help each other, how to connect deeper, how to love each other better. I'm like still shocked to this day when I meet people like you that are like, I care for people, and like, let's talk about how to connect better. Let's talk about how women can be unified better. And it's just crazy because when I started this podcast, I was alone doing it. It was just like me and the person helping me start it, but I didn't have people that are like, go Hannah, go Hannah, go Hannah. It was like, something in me needs to do this, and I trust God and the feeling inside of me that's like, eventually your tribe will come. And so like, looking at being here like a year later, 2 years later from when I started, I'm surrounded by my tribe, and that gives me more of a purpose to continue doing these things. But back then when I started, I was so alone. And no one talks about the loneliness it took to get to where you want to be.
I feel like that's an important part of the journey. I think that like, no matter how much someone loves you and cares for you, this is your journey. And I think with spending time with yourself and reflecting and being honest with yourself about the areas that you're, that are in need of improvement, or even recognizing the things that you're good at, I feel like no one can tell you that. You know, people might recognize these qualities in you, but I think that there's a lot to learn about yourself when you spend time alone, and have a certain level of independence. Not that you need to be completely secluded from your tribe or you need to isolate yourself, but I think there's a lot of value in reflecting and like you said, changing, and nothing is different if nothing is different. So yeah, I feel like those moments of solitude are where a lot of good things are born.
So you mentioned that on our way here, how your journey of getting into like health and fitness wasn't actually always healthy. It was a means of escape and a means of just trying your best to survive through pain. So go into that, because again, as a person going to the gym, it's like, oh, look at her, she's doing great. And obviously you are now. But talk about like how you continue to be disciplined through your pain, through your depression, and at what point it took for you to be able to help yourself to even get step foot into a gym.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like that came up in conversation because I've been meeting a lot of people recently who are like, oh my gosh, how can I look like that, or what are you eating? Not that I'm like this like super athlete or anything, or like I'm anything.
She wakes up at 5 a.m. to work out and she doesn't skip. She's a super athlete.
I'm not, you know, but I think people meet me now after I've put in 11 years of work and dedication into lifting and understanding what foods work for my body specifically. And I don't think it's always a reflection of like where I started, or people, maybe a better way to say that is like, people don't see what it took to get here. And I think for me, fitness was born out of a lot of pain. And like you said, depression, I was not in a good place. And I remember I was a senior in high school, and my clothes were not fitting me anymore. I was gaining so much weight. I was just so depressed. I was like, I don't see a way out of this. And at the time, I was working part-time at Tilly's. I think I was making like $7.25 an hour, working like $15 or 15 hours a week. And I was like making no money. So I was like, I can't afford a wardrobe. Like, I can't buy 7 pairs of jeans and all these clothes that fit me. And I think it's a problem when your leggings don't fit you anymore. Like, those things are stretchy and they're you're telling me like I can't get them over my hips. And I think that I was just in a lot of emotional pain that I was like, I need to work out. Mostly because it was causing me like some physical pain that was a distraction from everything else that I was feeling inside. And yeah, so I started working out, and I was so insecure. One, because I didn't have clothes I was comfortable to sweat in, and two, because I did not know what I was doing. And so I would go to the gym once every 3 weeks, and I would spend a little bit of time on the Stairmaster only because it was the tallest machine in the gym and I could watch other people working out. And so I would go once every 3 weeks, and then I would go twice in, you know, a week. And then I started going a little bit more and more. And I, for like a solid 3 weeks, I would just go to the gym and I would watch people work out. And I think a lot of women feel this way. Like, there's a lot of men on the weight floor. I feel like that is changing a little bit, but at the time when I was in high school, it was a case that there was mostly men on the weight floor, and I was like, I'm just so painfully shy. I'm never gonna walk on that mat. But I would just take mental notes and I would watch people lift, and it sounds kind of creepy, but I'd be like, I could do that. Definitely not gonna catch me doing what this guy's doing. but I would just like gather ideas. And then one day I just stepped on the weight floor, and it sounds so crazy, but it changed my life. I feel like when you invest in yourself and when you do hard things and when you get out of your comfort zone, it gives you this confidence that I did not have before. I feel like doing those challenging things for yourself, it does a lot for a person. And it was hard for like 5 years. I was still very depressed. I was working out, but I wasn't eating super healthy. And then I started to kind of get better at it. I was like, my form's pretty good. I go to the gym and I know what I'm going to hit and what workouts I'm going to do. And, you know, I started getting better at it and I felt more comfortable in my skin. And then outside of that, I started making other changes, like, okay, you unfortunately can't just go to the gym and then eat like crap after. You could, but I don't think it's going to get you. It didn't get me to where I wanted to be. And then so you just start making these changes little by little and over a very long course of time. And I think if you're someone who is intimidated by working out, or you've been wanting to start but for whatever reason you're scared, I would just say that I would just try to reframe it. And I think that people are looking for a way to make things easier, like to take that first step and hope that like you're not going to fail and everything is going to be perfect. And unfortunately, that's not the reality of anything. And so I think I just started doing things kind of knowing that, you know, I might mess up. I might do something or say something stupid and I'll learn from it. And I think it sucks in the moment, but I don't know. I think we need to do a better job of like not looking for the easy way out and just going through it anyway, because only then can you make iterations and do better and be better. And so it wasn't always like this, and it's still a journey. I feel like maybe you've experienced this too. Like, I think that you hit a lot of plateaus and like you fall off track sometimes and you have to keep starting over and over and over again. And it's not like you reach a level of success and you just stay there. Now you have to maintain. Now you have to do more to be better. Mm-hmm. So it's a journey, but I feel like the best thing you can do is start.
Mm-hmm. It even feels like once your body starts showing the results and then you still have like feelings of pain or turmoil, whatever it is, then you're finally like, okay, I did my gym part, but now I have to face these actual demons that I've been numbing through squatting my pain away, mm-hmm. boxing my pain away, jiu-jitsuing my pain away. But then it's like, at a certain point, you're going to be alone in a dark room thinking about the thoughts repeating in your head, and you could find demons popping up of you're rejected and nobody loves you, or like you're never going to see the results you want, or you go to the gym and then it's discouraging because there's always going to be someone more in shape than you. Mm-hmm. And so like it's like you have to, like my coach said, we're spoiled because we're not spoiled, and that makes us spoiled because we choose adversity. And so when people don't even get to choose adversity and they don't choose it, they are going to know true torture. They're going to lose. They're going to know pain. But when you're like, I'm going to put myself through waking up early, through working out, It's also cool to see what self-respect does when you realize I do what I say I'm gonna do. I take care of myself no matter what. And sure, these demons come out, these strange emotions, these feelings of I'm not good enough, nobody wants me, nobody loves me, those will come. But self-respect really does protect a lot of those things. Mm-hmm. It'll be your little crutch. And then eventually you got to have those hard conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's so true. Yeah, it's not an easy journey. And I don't know, I think about this quote a lot where I'd say this to myself all the time. You can walk a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. And I think that sometimes you're that person who wants more for other people. And like, there are a lot of people in my life that I want to, I'm like, if only you just like invested in your health and worked mm-hmm. out more, like you could do it. You could go so far. It'll solve so many of your problems. And they don't want to do it. And on the other side, that could be true for you too. Like, you're probably around a lot of people who want better for you. And it's frustrating when you see someone that you love not loving themselves in the same way. And it's like you just want to shake them and like encourage them to do the work. But at the end of the day, it's like what you're talking about, those moments of solitude and of reflection, of saying that there's a problem here and I need to do something to fix it, and it's not going to be easy. I feel like it's a difficult thing to recognize that in yourself, because that takes a lot of humility. And sometimes our egos are big and we believe what we believe for a reason. And so when someone's trying to change that, or when you're kind of reaching a point where you're like, okay, this path that I was taking to get me here, it's not going to take me much further. I need to do something different. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's hard. And I think people around me know I'm pretty neurotic about my routine. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'll go out and I'll have a drink if I want to every once in a while, but I'm still waking up at 4:30 and I'm still going to the gym. I don't care if
I was the friend that was like, no, cancel, like, skip.
I was like, I'll hang as long as I can, but I don't care if I'm on vacation. I don't care what's going on. Like, that workout is going to get had. So
do you think it's also kind of like a OCD controlling kind of trait?
No, I mean, maybe a little bit.
It's like your protection from the way people try to hold you back kind of thing.
I don't know if it's that. I think it's just maybe a little bit what you were talking about, like the self-respect. I'm like, this is a commitment that I made to myself. I don't want to do it all the time. And that's another thing. I think people are like, oh, this person works out so much and it's so easy for them, and I wish I had that kind of discipline. And I'm like, no, you do it because you don't have that discipline. There's so many times, like, if you catch me in the morning at 5 a.m. any day of the week, I don't want to be there. Like, I just got new pillows. Like, when you do laundry and your sheets smell good, like, I don't want to get out of bed.
I love that.
But
you do.
I do it, and it's like a sacred time. It's like, once you're out of bed and you're going, it's never as bad as it seems. But I don't know, I just think that it's, for me, it's not a question of like, what do you want to do? I'm like, this is gonna get done. I made a commitment to myself and I'm gonna honor that. Mm-hmm. So
I think that's like a big point of, do something that makes you respect yourself more. Commit to something that's between you and you and God, that's like, just because I do this, I respect myself a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Yours was 5 a.m. workouts. Mine would be like just showing up to jiu-jitsu as much as I possibly can. Mm-hmm. And no one told me to show up. I have encouragement from my coach and my teammates, but no one really told me before then. And so it's like, self-respect is so personal to you, but if you don't have it, eventually it'll eat you up alive, and you'll envy people that have it, because you're like, dang, how do you feel being like done with your workout at 7:30 and you're at a coffee shop just getting your soul clear, going on a walk, whatever it is, and someone's just kind of like waking up hungover.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between you and them is a little bit of self-respect, a little bit of dignity. And then a little bit of a, reminds me of a quote that I read, if you lack purpose, you'll end up numbing yourself with pleasure. It's pleasure's a great thing, thank God for it. Anything that could make us feel good is great, but the lack of purpose will make us do painful things that allow us to have things that many don't remind themselves to reward ourselves with. Mm-hmm. Dignity, self-respect, integrity, quality things that are not tangible. Mm-hmm. So let's go into being a woman.
Let's.
Like, okay, so as a woman, everything we approach, it's so different because the depths of our hearts and souls are like, we want to make sense of things. We want to reason with things. And so specifically as women, speak to the insecure women that's fully aware that gym environment is a concoction of men and like gym baddies and gym mommies that are just savage in there. And then like a few that are trying to figure it out. Speak to those ones. Speak to the insecurities of their souls and how, in a way, we are all one.
Mm-hmm. I think if you're insecure, which everybody has, okay, maybe not if you're insecure. If you have insecurities, everybody does. And I think that kind of what we were talking about earlier, if you are self-aware of that, that tells you a lot. I think if you're jealous or whatever emotion you're feeling towards a situation, if you can pick it apart, I think it tells you something. Like, for example, there have been times when I see someone and I'm where I have felt jealous and I'm like, why do I feel this way? Where is this threat coming from? And you break it down, you realize that it's because I'm not where I want to be in life. I'm not as accomplished as I thought I would be at this age. And so what does that mean? Like, I could dwell on it or I could do something to get started. And I think that sometimes people have this timeline of like, I should have been here by now. And I had a goal and I didn't accomplish it. And then it's like, okay, so what? Is it over now? And I think when I started thinking about it that way, I started being very inspired by people and like being very curious and like wanting to learn more. If you're someone who has insecurities about the gym, the reality is maybe you're not where you want to be. And why is that? Is it because you're not putting in the time? Like, you don't need a fancy gym membership. Like, when it was COVID, I was in my backyard or in my bedroom doing air squats or push-ups on my knees until I could do it on my toes or doing jumping jacks. Like, I just think that it, like, just do it and recognize that, like, those negative feelings that you have are useful. You're not going to feel good all the time. And if you're not, if you're in a state where it's like, I don't want to be here, I don't know. I think it's a clue that you should be doing something differently. And I think it's important, especially when you're at the gym. I used to feel this way a lot when I would see people who were a lot more fit than I am. And it's like, okay, so what am I going to do about it? Because I could go home and cry about it and feel bad about myself, or I could get my shit together and we can like make some moves with it. And I just think that if you go in with that mindset, like, eventually it stops becoming about this like competition and more about like, I just want to do better. And it just gets this journey started of self-reflection and I'm going to make these changes. And I don't know. Thankfully, I don't really go into the gym anymore and think like, man, I wish I looked like her. Or, like, this is my journey. And I think that you develop a level of respect for yourself and confidence that, like, it's not a competition. You're on your own journey. And I think a lot of people feel this way. Like, oh, I'm going to look stupid, or I have like this issue or whatever. No one's thinking about that. Like, I feel like when people go to the gym, everyone is in their own world, like living their own life. Everyone has their own insecurities, whether you realize that or not. And I think when you think about it that way, it's like, that, like, she's on her path, he's on his path, and I'm on mine. And you don't need to worry about what everyone else is doing. Like, be happy for them and work on yourself. Mm-hmm. So,
and be kind to yourself.
Yeah. Kind to yourself and kind to others. Like, I just, you know, it's a journey, and I don't know. I think it's a beautiful one, whether you're at rock bottom or you're thriving. I just think that people are doing their own thing, and it's good to be kind to yourself and to others.
Like, because we've seen it, because that's how we've met, because we've seen proof, and literally our friend group, we're all like quirky gym addicts that love to edit, and we've somehow found a group of us, and mm-hmm. So it was really special. You will manifest the conversations you have inside of yourself, the dialogues you have inside of yourself. Whatever is inside of you will come out. And if you're really mean to yourself, you will attract people that are mean to you. If you really believe in yourself, eventually you'll attract people that believe in you, and it'll shock you because it's just going to feel too good to be true. But like at some point, I felt worthy of having a friend that believes in me. At one point, I felt like girls do exist that are purpose-driven and care about people so much it's a problem. Like, we need to back off and care less because it's not normal. But, like, here we are. You care for people a lot. You love people. You love the gym. You love being able to promote, create community. And that's just because, like, you were ready to have the tribe around you that can allow that. To have your book club come from 12 people to 70 people, because what was inside of you was able to manifest that. Mm-hmm. So without the kindness, the kind dialogues, you're not going to be attracting kind people. But if you're having kind dialogues, then your eyes will, you'll catch the attention of someone that is familiar with that dialogue. And it's just, I don't know what it is. Is it God's way? Is it the law of energy? Just principles of nature? But like, I've seen that happen where I meet dreamers, I meet creatives, I meet the most ambitious people ever. And sometimes I just think because I brainwashed myself from the motivational books, from the stuff my parents told me, from the Bible, from like affirmations and such. Because mm-hmm. I'm a like naturally negative person. Mm-hmm. I can get mad like nothing. But I've tried to brainwash myself through the things my parents have taught me and books and affirmations and things that good people have taught me over time to see it's true. Mm-hmm. So it's like, as much as it sounds like it's a bunch of baloney, how you treat yourself matters more than anything. Mm-hmm. If you go to the gym, it's like men versus women in the gym. Women are like, look at me, I'm good, I finally made it, and you just take your pictures, and guys are like, you're never gonna get the girl unless you have the biggest biceps ever, the biggest back. And it's like, just embrace the female kindness dialogue, the loving dialogue, and like eventually you'll find people that have the kindness for yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's why it is okay to cut off people that don't project kindness for a season, just so that you have open doors for new people that are so excited to be your friend or so excited to encourage you mm-hmm. or be into the new weird quirky things that you're into. Because as humans, we tend to limit ourselves because we're limited to physical human body. Mm-hmm. But once we like change principles to make it where we can be alone, we can be in silence, we can face our emotions and not be like, and actually be sober, we see different things happening.
It's so true. I feel like there's so much there that you said. I think that you were talking about like kind of unlearning what you learn from people and from what your parents taught you and books that you read. I feel like that's interesting, because I think there are a lot of, maybe, you know, there's probably a lot of people who can relate to having like family who loves them. They're super family oriented, or friends who like really do care about them, and from good intention they'll give them all of this advice or say like, don't do this or don't do that, or this is what you should believe. And I think it's hard to like have someone that you love and that you respect telling you all of these things when maybe that's not for you. And I think when you break away from that and you break away from those beliefs and you become an independent person with their own thoughts, their own belief system, that's hard. And I think at the end of the day, it goes back to like reflecting and knowing who you are. And I don't think a person really knows who they are until they go through a lot of failures and trials and tribulations. And even then, like, as long as you have air in your lungs, like, there's still so much to learn. And so there's like this delicate balance of like knowing who you are and who you want to be, and kind of breaking away from what society tells you who you should be, or what your mom or your friends or whoever you love tells you who you should be. I feel like that's hard to do. But yeah, I don't know. It's a journey, and I don't think anyone has all the answers. But also, you're talking about maybe you're in a season where people were in your life and they aren't anymore, and like law of attraction, all that stuff. I think that everything, I believe everything happens for a reason. All the good and all the bad, whether I can make sense of it or not, I don't think anything is for nothing. And I don't know, I think that when people are in your life and they aren't anymore, it's like, whether you feel wronged or maybe you made a mistake and hurt somebody else, I think that there's something to learn from everything. And I think this is hard to do, to like wish someone well that isn't in your life anymore for whatever reason. But I think that when you think good things and want things for people, whether you felt betrayed by them or whether you hurt them, whatever the situation is, I think that like that energy comes back to you. And that's something that I'm trying to do consciously recently, is just like want good things for people, whether they're around you or not. I feel like that's so very hard to do. But I think that when I started doing that and like wishing people well, like genuinely, things like this friendship, like doors start to open up and good things start finding you because it's in your heart. And I think that it's a hard lesson to learn, you know, especially when you feel like maybe you got the short end of the stick, you know, or whatever it is. Like, it's important to recognize your faults in situations, and you know, let people be who they are and go on your journey, because everything plays a role into whatever the end, like whatever the outcome is going to be. And I don't know, I think it's all beautiful.
Did you read The Secret?
No.
So you believe in the law of attraction?
I do.
How did you study it?
I've heard the concept in podcasts, in conversation, but also I think that I've just experienced it in my life, you know. I'm a journaler. I write a lot. I have a journal. I've had one for years. It's like a conversation that I have with God. It always starts with what I'm grateful for, no matter what kind of a day I'm having. And I write like what I want. And I think a lot of it starts with, I don't know. I have all these question marks. I don't even know what I'm confused about, but I just need guidance. And I think that when you put that out there, things come along. And I think through doing things like journaling and that sort of thing, I don't know, I'll just like put things out there and the right things will come and the right things will go.
Yeah. I don't know if this is extreme, but maybe like people are miserable because in some form they choose to be miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds so harsh to put it in the extreme, but like when blessings happen to good people, it's always kind of for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's something called an anointing, mm-hmm. Or a covering. And it's like people will do the work in prayer and journaling and like training their brain to see light and to speak light and to like literally brainwash yourself from this society that trains us to just think we're not good enough all the time. But once you do, you'll manifest that beautiful life. But when people are like just constantly seeing bad things happen, you need to reflect on what is it inside of you that could be manifesting that? What is it, the dialogues you're having, the people you're surrounding yourself with, the habits, but like deep down, why do you want that? Why mm-hmm. do you think you're not deserving of something special? Whether it's an amazing job, an amazing relationship, amazing friendships, something inside of you is actually having a negative perspective that you can simply shift. Even if the shift takes a year, if you truly do change what is going on inside of you, you'll be able to see light around you that you'll welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Totally.
I feel like that's real.
Yeah, I think so too. And that's hard. Like when people come to me and they say that, I feel like that's a hard thing to address because I think it's true, but I think only you or whoever can figure that out, you know? And I might have some ideas on like why that might be happening to you based on what I know about you and like where you are in your life. But again, I think it's like, I don't know, only you and God know like why you're going through certain things. And sometimes you just don't know. And that's the really frustrating part is like, you know that this moment in your life is not where you want to be, where you should be, and it's hard to figure out what that next step is. But I don't know, I think that it takes a lot of trial and tribulations to make those changes. And I think through prototyping and trying things and failing and mm-hmm. seeing what works for you and what doesn't, it sounds so cliche. I know everyone has heard this a million times, but I think it's true. It's a journey trying to figure that out. And everyone is in a different season in their lives. And, you know, I don't know how to like tell someone or guide someone out of that. I think when I've been in situations where I'm like, what is happening? Like, why am I in this situation? I'm in so much pain. It feels wrong, like the path that I'm going down. And I think that is a form of guidance too. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a lot of people's experiences that you don't really recognize the lesson in everything until you're fully out of it and you're in a completely different place in your life and you can reflect on the past and say all of those trials, like I'm grateful for them. Like you're talking about blessings. And I think when people think like this is such a blessing, it's usually like, oh my gosh, I got the promotion, I got the job that I wanted, this beautiful thing is happening. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the failures and the heartbreak and the fill in the blank, I think the good and the bad, quote unquote, those are blessings too. And sometimes you don't recognize that until you're out of the situation and you can reflect and make sense of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I agree.
Like when they say you don't really know peace until you know pain and anger.
Exactly.
You don't know love until you know rejection and hate. You don't know happiness until you know sadness and depression. And truly those contrasts is like, if we believe in God, then we have to ask the classic question, well, if God exists, then why would he allow so much evil things to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And what if it was all just for contrast to understand how much pain the human can carry just to know that the opposite in that same contrast can exist? Like mm-hmm. people that have been so rejected, cheated on in the worst and dirtiest way, knowing that, finding out that men are just dark, whatever mindset that could have brought about. But imagine the opposite contrast of, you know how dark it gets. Now imagine if you were to have a little bit of hope to see the other side of what it feels like to be number one, for them to never leave, after you know what it's like to be left, after you know what it's like to be cheated on, after you understood how much of an animal the opposite sex could be. But the fact that a real true man can come and serve as the opposite and be kind, loyal, loving, unconditionally loving, a provider, a protector, a leader. And so often we get caught up in our pain, but that's why it's like, don't play victim, don't look back, and know that you are gifted with contrast. You choose the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I got to be raised with really good parents that worked really hard so that I could have a really peaceful and good childhood. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't see certain sufferings till I actually hit adulthood, and especially seeing like my friends suffer or face different issues. But then I also noticed with friends that maybe didn't have parents growing up like I did, they don't play victim. They got momentum growing up. They don't feel the need to blame people for where they're at in life. And sometimes I'm just like, dang, there's no one should ever say everyone, I wish everyone parents, obviously. But like, in a weird way, you're doing great as an adult. You are not blaming anybody because you learned that about life early on. And so it's like, in your negative contrast, understand you can have the positive thing, but like, see it as that means that the other extreme is available to you.
Mm-hmm. I 100% agree. I think some of the most successful people I know started becoming successful because their root was a deep form of pain or struggle. Like, I have a friend, Odali. She has a podcast, Hella Latina Podcast, shameless plug. She is the youngest of, I think, 7 siblings. And she, on her podcast, talked about how she was homeless for a while and she didn't have anything, you know, and their family struggled a lot. And now she is super successful. I think that we can't control everything that happens to us. Like, all these cliches, I find a lot of value in it. We can't control where we come from, what family we're born into, what struggles we're presented with, but we have choices to make. And I think as a child, that might be a harder perspective to adopt, but when you're older, like, you have more resources, I would imagine. And I don't want to pretend to know everybody's struggle, but some people have to make harder choices. And I think that what you do with that makes a big difference. And it's a testament to the kind of person that you are and the kind of person that you want to be. So, you know, I can relate. I know my parents are, thank God, are going to celebrate 35 years of marriage in January. But no one that I went to elementary and middle school with, like, none of their parents are together. And, you know, everyone has a different set of struggles. And, you know, it's like, what are you gonna do with that? So it's, everything is a journey. And mindset is super important, because I think it, for good reasons, people might victimize themselves because it's shitty what people go through. Like, yeah. No, like, I don't want someone that I love to struggle as much as some of the people I love do struggle. But that's outside of my hands. That's outside of their hands. And at the end of the day, it's like, what are you going to do about it? That's kind of my mindset, is like, I have been in so many places in my life where I feel sorry for myself. Mm-hmm. And then I just stay in that place for so long. And, you know, it's like, nothing changes if nothing changes. So, yeah, I agree with what you said, though.
So, why do you think that you care for people as much as you do? I understand why, personally, but apparently it's rare to care for people, to love strangers. So why do you?
I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm a Cancer. I don't know.
I had to throw something in there.
I'm a Cancer. I don't know what it is. I think that when you're exposed to a lot of people suffering, I can't remember a time where I didn't have an instinct to just want to take care of everybody. And I remember going to a music event with my friend and I. Her and I went to a concert, and it was...
Which artist?
It was like a music festival, so there was a lot of different artists. This was a couple of years ago. Actually, this was several years ago. I think I was still in high school. And I remember it was an event for, for New Year's, so it was very cold and we were out. It was super late and there was this girl on the floor drunk. She was just like laying on the floor. The police are there and I'm like, okay, what's going on? I'm like, I need it. This woman needs help. And so she's like, she's cold. She's wearing like some booty shorts. She's wearing like, it was like a one of those kinds of music festivals where it's like plur. If you don't know, you know, whatever. I'm gonna move past that. But she is suffering and she's alone. I'm like, where are her friends? And I just remember her saying, like, of course I inserted myself in this situation. I was like, what is going on? Like, her friends are gone and she's freezing. I literally took my sweater off and gave it to her because I was like, I don't care. Sometimes I put things like it'll come at my expense sometimes. But I just want to love everyone. I just want to give everyone a big hug. I feel like I don't know what it is. I just feel like God put this on my heart. It's just like, I don't try to be this way. It's just like, I don't know. It's just how I am.
I think it's such a beautiful trait about you. And I pray God never changes that about you.
Thank you. That is one of my, I feel like, I think everybody has a God-given gift. I think that's one of mine. I just mm-hmm. like, I just love everyone. Mm-hmm. I could see something beautiful in like the worst person. Quote unquote, if you're not watching this on YouTube.
No offense, but yeah, you see good on YouTube. Yeah,
but yeah, I don't know. I think we need more of that. And you know, I think the people that I surround myself with are kind of like that too. I don't know, I just gravitate towards that. And I think the world needs a little bit more kindness, free of judgment.
No, that's why I, even making new friends, I get very like, okay, Hannah, you're a talker, you sometimes need to shut up, hold your horses, and kind of think about how you're going to word things for these new friends that you're like happy hanging out with, but you know, you have to remember social cues and that they're still a stranger. And you know, I was like, when you're, you know, out having fun,
I know what you're gonna say, I remember this.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know specifically, but just how I was just talking about some insecurities and you just mentioned like the friends that need to stay will stay. And like you kind of just made it clear you're not going anywhere. And at that point, I don't know, it could have been the last time we hung out, because I know that I have a big personality and I'm so familiar with being like, Hannah, tone it down. And just in a moment where I wasn't toning it down, you just made me feel so accepted. And I come off as confident. We all do. But mm-hmm. sometimes I have my moments of like, you're too much. Stop. Just shut off. Lower your volume. Stop thinking. Nobody wants to talk about that. So I appreciate the fact that like you truly have this accepting soul about you that makes me love myself more. And you're right. We need more of you because I need to love myself. And sometimes it's hard to remind myself to do that. But when you're simply like, oh, Hannah, those that need to stay will stay. Those that love you will stay and just like accept you as you are.
I remember this conversation. You were like, am I being too much? And I was like, you be all that you want to be. I don't care. I do not care. I love that you're so bold and you say what's on your heart. And I think that people are very sensitive these days. It's very true. And there's nothing,
so many people with my words and I didn't mean it the next day.
You know, there's nothing wrong. I think there's beauty in sensitivity. But I think that when you say something, if it comes from a good place and it's well-intentioned, I don't think it's your responsibility to worry about how it lands. I think that we want to care and we don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable and we want to be pleasant to be around, generally speaking. But I think what I said is like the right people are going to stay mm-hmm. and be who you're going to be. If someone isn't in your life anymore, I don't think that they were meant to be there for a long time. I think that you can learn something from everybody, mm-hmm. but not everyone is going to be there forever, and that's okay. Like, let people go peacefully, and don't wish them bad. But I don't know. I love that about you. I think that you're bold and you say what's on your mind, and it gives other people confidence to do the same thing. And I just feel like, yeah, I don't know, be who you want to be. You know, nobody's perfect, and like, you're going to make mistakes just like the next person. But I don't know. I think you live in, it seems like you're pretty aligned. Like, you say what you mean. And you do what you think is right. And I think that's beautiful. If people don't want to stick around for that, then that's totally okay.
You can have all of me.
Yeah.
You're my new travel buddy.
You are perfect just the way.
I will be with you all the time.
Yes, I love that.
Okay, tell me what kind of mark you want to leave on this world.
Oh my gosh, asking the hard questions. That's a deep one. I want to create a space for people where they're encouraged to be themselves. Like, come as you are. And I feel like that it's so hard to do because, and we're not going to get into all of these details, but in the political climate that we're in just like the state of the world that we're living in right now, I think there's a lot of controversy. There's a lot of different opinions, and people feel strongly about certain things, which is great. I always want to be someone who takes people as they are. Like, come with your beliefs, come with whatever perspectives or trauma you have. I think that everyone deserves like a loving place and a place to feel safe and to express themselves. And so I think the mark that I want to leave on the world is to just like accept people free of judgment, and not try to change anyone to accommodate what I believe. I love disagreeing with people in a respectful way. Like, I have my opinions about a lot of different things. And a lot of my friends, it's so interesting. Like, we don't agree on most things. And I think that one thing that makes my relationships so beautiful is how respectfully we can disagree with each other and still love each other at the end of the day. So I would hope to see more people like that, and I hope to continue being that way myself.
Wow.
Yeah,
you really embody that now though.
Thank you.
I really mean it. It is a God-given gift to be able to give people the feeling of being accepted, because you could accept me, but it doesn't really matter unless I feel it enough to be weird, and then you still accept me. It's such a beautiful trait.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. What would you say to that?
I think that it would have to be that we are stronger together, and that we're all worth being compatible in some form to create something greater than all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that collaboration is a big priority in my life, especially because, yeah, I can be divisive, and I do think that being bold in your views is important. But when I set aside our differences, because there's a time and place, and then work with creative skills of collaboration from like men becoming men, women accepting each other for like our desire to nurture and to create life and to create beauty and like a safe place for children. Like, we could have tribe culture if we collaborate enough to be aligned with the same purpose and set aside our differences. Because mm-hmm. our differences are really just being human, and like, you might get mad, you might drink alcohol to handle your problems, you might be a super boring person and that's your biggest con about you, you may be just secretively addicted to pills. We're all some form a little bit of human, and in time we get to be grow our relationship with God that just filters out all these things that we don't need to hold on to. But like, no matter what your bad thing is, it's so empowering to find a tribe that you can collaborate with to create something bigger than yourself. Mm-hmm. Especially as a woman. As a woman, my financial status doesn't define me at all. And in fact, it could work against me and create a bias against me. So really, it's like, what kind of heart value can I bring? And really it's in creating community and collaborating, like what you do, what you have a heart for.
You're living it out. I see it.
Thank you.
I feel like you do a really good job of seeing things in people that maybe they don't recognize in themselves and helping them do something with it. So I feel like you're already on the right path.
Thank you so much. I like the throwback question. I was like, whoa. I know. Not your job. Let me ask. Please give the listeners, one, how they can find you, and two, the message that you want to stick with them from this podcast on how they can elevate their lives.
Oh my gosh. Well, you can find me on Instagram. If you want to be part of the book club community, you can find me at More Than Booked. If you want to just see what life is like on my side of town, you can find me at Marianne R. Gomez. And how to elevate today. I think if I could just leave you with one thing, it would just be to do the hard thing. Like, don't try to find the easy way out of any situation. I think that there's so much growth and value in doing things that are difficult and uncomfortable and maybe outside of your norm. But I think it's a beautiful investment, and I think just so many good things can come from doing the hard thing. So that's what works for me. Maybe it will work for you too. I don't know. We'll see.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And that is our conversation here on Elevate Today podcast. Please find her, follow her on Instagram, and continue to be inspired by people that are genuinely elevating in this podcast, but in real life, and embodying what it means to be a person of growth, to be a purpose-driven person, and just be inspired, because women like Marianne do exist, and it gives hope to the world. It makes me so happy and empowered and motivated to keep living out of my heart, not just chasing the dollar, chasing money, to be able to pay for cool stuff, pay for more freedom, but like, what can we do with our hearts? What can we do when two girls come together and brainstorm? Like, we can create things so much greater than ourselves if we just set ourselves aside and do the hard thing. So yes. You're a phenomenal person, and I've loved being your friend up to this point. You're amazing.
I'm gonna cry.
Okay, now we're gonna eat food and bye. Have fun now. It's Friday. Goodbye.